Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip you to defend the Bible and historic Christianity because truth matters. To find out more about Hank Hanegraaff or one of his resources, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, or the Christian Research Journal, go to our website at www.equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. As we go to our calls, want to give out our contact information on the web. It is equip.org via the mail. It's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by. That number, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Again, a lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the calls. First up, Anthony in Topeka, Kansas, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Anthony.
How you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah, it's good to hear your voice again. Met you several times in Kansas City. Always a great honor to talk with you. Say, look, Hank, I wanted to ask, in light of what the Supreme Court said concerning Prop 8, gay marriage and all that, what should the church do? First, I'm getting two. I was watching Fox News, and Jay Sekulow was there saying this means this, and the other lady saying it was a great day for America and all that sort of thing. You know, church has to have an answer, you know.
Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, I think it's so critical that we're able to demonstrate that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Because if you don't have a North Star by which to set your sail, anything will go. You'll start setting your standards by the size and scope of the latest lobby group. God has set the parameters around human sexuality so that our joy might be complete. When we disrupt that, we end up doing so not only to our own hurt, but also to the hurt of society in general. And I think, therefore, it's incumbent upon Christians always to be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect, but to be able to demonstrate that the ultimate authority is the Word of God, because the basic sentiment today is that the Bible's outdated, it's outmoded, it's no longer relevant, and we can demonstrate, of course, as Christians, that it is relevant, it is not outdated, and it has the answers to every situation that we encounter, and most certainly the answers with respect to human sexuality.
Yes, I read lots and lots of Norm Geisler, and I'm just thinking that if the Bible's outdated, God is outdated, and all scriptures given by inspiration of God, God can't be outdated. Maybe a Model T can be outdated, but not God. A God that can be outdated is a limited God. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah, well, obviously, he's the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. He's the one who knit us together in our mother's womb. He's the one who has created us for eternity, and therefore he knows precisely what we are designed for. And this is ultimately what happens in repentance. We have a U-turn on the road of life, a change of heart, a change of the mind, a change of the will, and we start doing it God's way. But when we look at what's happening in the culture, we have to look back at the church. When the church ceases to be a cultural initiator and becomes a cultural imitator, what happens is the culture devolves. And that's why it's critically important that we have reformation in the church in order to have ultimately revival in the culture. If reformation doesn't take place in the church, then the culture will continue to devolve, and it most certainly is not only in a slide, it is now in an actual free fall.
Oh, absolutely, Hank. One more question real quick. When someone says, it's all about love, you know, you can't limit love to body parts. I've heard that sort of thing, you know.
Yeah, well, you have to define what love is. And I think part and parcel of the church's response with respect to love is to have a commitment to others to tell them the truth no matter what the cost. If I am a cancer specialist and you have cancer and I tell you I love you but do nothing whatsoever to help you when it is in my power to do so, I'm demonstrating that I don't love you at all. And I think the same thing is true of a church that fails to tell the culture that what is happening is detrimental to people. I mean, you look at the matter of the social sciences. Cross-cultural studies simply don't lie, and they're virtually unanimous in demonstrating that a child is better served by a mother and a father than a father-father or mother-mother coupling. Not only so, but the moment that you start to use the reasoning prowess of the Supreme Court or the Obama administration when it comes to same-sex marriage, you start to set a precedent, and that precedent can equally apply to many other couplings. It can apply to aberrations ranging from polygamy to incest. And again, we have to be able to give an answer with gentleness and with respect. And if we don't give an answer, it is a demonstration that we simply do not care as we should. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Robert listening in Augusta, South Carolina, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Mr. Handgraf. I'm so glad I was able to get through to you today, and I appreciate your ministry, and I continue to pray for your ministry and blessings upon it.
Thank you.
My question today, sir, is something I've been struggling with for many years as a Christian, and I just don't know where to go with it. So, of course, I turn to you and see what your wisdom is on this. And what it basically boils down to is I'm trying to understand about infants and their presence before the Lord in the idea of grace or whatever it may be called. Basically, here's what I was looking for in the idea of children before the age of accountability or before some age, let's say 1 or 2 or 3, is there anything spoken of in Scripture that says they have any kind of special standing before the Lord where they are, I don't want to say guaranteed a place in heaven, but short of that for semantics reasons, I don't have any other special words. I'm looking to try to figure out what happens to infants, what happens to children in before they ever accept Christ, the way that normally adults and everybody else at supposedly this age of accountability that I've just heard spoken of through time, what happens prior to that to children and such like that?
Well, Robert, the basic answer to that question is that we leave those children in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God. In other words, God has revealed enough about his nature so that we can trust him. So while the Bible doesn't speak explicitly to this question, it does imply that we can comfortably leave those children in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely loving God. You see this exemplified by David, who had a child, and that child died. And when the child died, he no longer mourned for the child. While the child was sick, he mourned. But when the child died, he got up from his mourning because he then said that that child was going to be with the Lord and that he would meet that child in eternity. That's a rough paraphrase, but that's the essence of it. And so I think that there are implications whereby we can leave these children in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God. Having said that, let me say that there are different theological constructs that answer the question in different ways. There are some who would say that some children are doomed from the womb to certain destruction and others are elect, and they would answer the question that way. So there are different systems of thought, but I think ultimately we shouldn't shout where the Bible is largely silent.
Yes, sir, I definitely agree, and that was probably the verse you spoke of in 2 Samuel 12:23 was my only point in the Scripture that I could find speaking kind of directly but indirectly about that, since it was just David saying it about his child. I thought,
right.
Okay, this...
Yeah, right, and we don't want to suppose that God is erecting artificial barriers to salvation, which is to say God is not trying to keep people out on technicalities. He is a God of infinite love who has designed us for fellowship with him and desires us to have that fellowship with him. And therefore, again, God is not looking for a way to keep people out, but he so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So we can, again, with great comfort, leave our preborn children, our children before the age of accountability, in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God.
Yes, sir. Okay, I kind of figured that was going to be the answer, knowing that the Bible doesn't specifically state, I have always rested on that God is perfect and just in his decisions, and that has kept me at peace, but the question keeps coming up, you know, and you got to deal with that. But thank you for your answer. I appreciate it.
You got it, Robert. Thank you so much for your call. Rebecca next. She's listening in Nashville, Tennessee on Bot Radio. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I was wondering if you have of the oneness movement, the Pentecostal, where the my understanding is that they don't believe in the Trinity.
Well, that's right. They think it is a pagan doctrine. And the reason they do is because they can't relate to the Trinity. And so what they've done in a humanistic effort is redefine the Trinity. And so instead of one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct, what they do is they redefine God as though God goes through different modes or manifestation, the Father becoming the Son becoming the Holy Spirit. But there's nothing in the Bible to suggest such a thing. What the Bible clearly teaches is that there is only one God, that Jesus Christ is God, that the Father is God, and that the Holy Spirit is God, and that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. Now, I cannot fully comprehend that, but I do apprehend that in Scripture, and thus I bow my knee before God's revelation of himself to me. By the way, if this were illogical, I wouldn't bow my knee, because God is not illogical. It is a mystery, but it's not illogical. If I said there are three gods and there's one God, that would be illogical. But that's not what the Bible's teaching. It says that there's one God in terms of his nature or essence, but three in person. Put another way, there's one what and three whos.
Right. It was kind of confusing to me because, you know, often I can't find, and if you have scripture to lead me, it'd be great, but I can't find where, you know, the Father says he sends his Son, Jesus Christ. So if they're one person, I don't know. It was just kind of confusing how you don't believe in the Trinity. I guess maybe it's just my way I've been brought up as well, but, you know, he also says that there is no other way to me but through Jesus Christ.
Yes. Of course, they say that you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ only, but this is their mistake. The basic idea of Scripture is not a formula, but being baptized in the name of the God who has revealed himself to us in the pages of Scripture. So the error that Jesus Christ is himself the Father, which is to say that the Father becomes the Son becomes the Holy Spirit, is the fundamental error that has led to other errors as well, including their legalistic prescriptions, where you not only have to be baptized using their formula, but if you don't speak in tongues, you may not be saved at all. And this puts enormous socio-psychological pressure on people to conjure up the gift of tongues, though they don't really have the gift of speaking in other languages at all.
Oh, yes, sir. I was raised in that, so I do understand some of that. But I appreciate your help then. And I guess my greatest concern is it seems since I've heard of the certain people that are in that, it just really grieves me because I don't really know how to pray for them, that they're enlightened or that God will bring the truth. I mean, because, you know, they think that that's what it is.
Right.
And I mean, if Jesus Christ is standing by the Father's side, ever interceding for me, then he's at his right hand. That's what the Word says. He's not God. I mean, he's...
Well, sure. And that's the logic that you have to drive home. I mean, that's the biblical teaching. And we must always subject ourselves to the biblical teaching. You're absolutely right. The Father sends the Son. The Son prays to the Father. The Son sends the Counselor. The Father loves the Son. I mean, over and over again, we see subject-object distinctions between the Father and the Son. And the arguments that are sometimes used in this regard don't hold water at all, as though, well, the two natures are praying to one another or something like this. So there are a lot of different permutations of the argument. But the fact of the matter is we do well to bow our knee before God's revelation of himself to us in Scripture. Whether we can comprehend it or not is another question. I mean, I'm going to spend an eternity seeking to comprehend how God can be one God by nature and three in person. But that's the beauty. God is far beyond my kin. If he was a God that I could bring to my own level, he wouldn't be a God that I could thoroughly worship and love and adore in the sense that you can love and adore the unfathomable God revealed to us not only in his handiwork, but also in the Word of God. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions in just a moment. Stay tuned for that.
Evolution strips away any notion of God. No God, no absolute truth. No absolute truth, and anything and everything goes. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wants to equip you with what he calls one of the most powerful tools he's seen to help you understand why evolution is false. The DVD called Flight, The Genius of Birds. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call to request it today. 1-888-7000-CRI, 1-888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. It's one of the most powerful tools I've seen to equip people with the truth of creation. These were Hank Hanegraaff's words after watching the DVD from Illustra Media called Flight, The Genius of Birds, and he wants to send you a copy to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Flight takes a detailed look at birds and addresses head-on the logical impossibility that this complex biological system could be produced by a purposeless process rather than by a personal plan. Equip yourself and your children and grandchildren with the truth about why evolution is false and why the biblical account of creation is true. Call and request your copy of Flight, The Genius of Birds today. 1-888-7000-CRI. 1-888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Have you ever wanted to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your phone or handheld device? Now you can with the Equip iPhone app available for free from the Christian Research Institute. With the Equip iPhone app, you can take the Bible Answer Man with you wherever you go. Listen to the broadcast live, listen to archived programs, 3-minute Ask Hank features, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. All of this available for free from the Christian Research Institute. So go online to equip.org and click on the Equip iPhone app banner and download this free app today. Or go to equip.org/app. That's equip.org/app. The Equip iPhone app is compatible with iPhone 5, iPhone 4, 4S, 3GS, iPad, iPod Touch, and requires iOS 6. It's one of the most powerful tools I've seen to equip people with the truth of creation. These were Hank Hanegraaff's words after watching the DVD from Illustra Media called Flight, The Genius of Birds, and he wants to send you a copy to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Flight takes a detailed look at birds and addresses head-on the logical impossibility that this complex biological system could be produced by a purposeless process rather than by a personal plan. Equip yourself and your children and grandchildren with the truth about why evolution is false and why the biblical account of creation is true. Call and request your copy of Flight, The Genius of Birds today. 1-888-7000-CRI. 1-888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. children are back at school, learning the theory of evolution is truth, and fewer teachings are more dangerous. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wants to equip you with the facts about why creation is true by sending you the DVD called Flight, The Genius of Birds. The eye-opening resource is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please request your copy when you call or go online. The phone number is 1-888-7000-CRI, 1-888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. You know, it's not all that uncommon for skeptics to suppose that Christians are irrational to believe in a God that they cannot see. But in reality, it is irrational for skeptics to suppose that what cannot be seen does not exist. Why? Well, both Christians and skeptics alike recognize such things as black holes or electrons or, well, the laws of logic, the force of gravity, despite the fact that all of these are unseen. Not only so, but Jesus is the image of the invisible God, and as such, the incarnation of Jesus Christ is the supreme act of God's self-revelation. But it's not the only act. God's invisible quality, says Paul, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Put another way, the order, the complexity of the universe testify to the existence of an uncaused first cause. All of this to say that we have a brand new DVD that we want to put into your hands for your ongoing support of the ministry, but also to equip you to always be ready to give an answer or reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. And in this DVD, which is simply called Flight, The Genius of Birds, the ingenuity of a bird's behavior and biology are showcased, and in turn showcase the reality of a God who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. This is a simply wonderful resource that will bless you and bless your family in unimaginable ways. And if you have watched Metamorphoses, you will know Paul Nelson. He was the principal figure, if you will, in Metamorphoses. Well, Paul Nelson joins me right now on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And as always, it's good to have you with us, Paul.
Thank you, Hank, for having me back as a guest.
This is just an extraordinary production. I mean, I thought that you guys had done it all when Metamorphoses came out. I mean, Illustra Media just hit a zenith that I didn't think could be topped, but I actually think this is as good or better.
You know, I have to agree with you. And frankly, I think they got on the scene. They said, flying creatures, we've done butterflies. Let's look around. We've got birds to do. And there are aspects of this film that, frankly, I've never seen before. You know, looking, for instance, at the development of birds within an egg. But there are so many interesting aspects to the film. I just love telling people about it.
Paul, tell us about the problem that the very concept of flight poses for the evolutionary paradigm.
Flight as a function, that by that I mean controlled flight, where you're not just gliding, but actually taking off, going in a directional way, landing in a controlled way. That is actually something that's very, very complicated. And it took us, that is human beings, a long time to figure out how to do it without killing ourselves. And finally, in the first couple decades of the last century, we managed to have genuine controlled flight. Birds, of course, have been doing it as long as we have observed them. And the evolutionary paradox or puzzle is, how did land-dwelling or tree-dwelling creatures without the power of flight achieve that function in an incremental way? By an undirected Darwinian process, which is what evolutionary theory claims. So the film looks at what it takes for a living thing to fly. Of course, other, you know, other ways of flying other than what birds do. Bats fly, insects fly. But this film focuses just on bird flight and the amazing multiple features required to achieve that.
Let's talk about a specific bird, the hummingbird. As a design problem, why is this such a big deal for evolution?
Hummingbirds do things that no other bird can do. For instance, they hover very much, if you've ever seen one, like a helicopter. They're able to move backwards in the air. They're able to achieve lift all the time. You know, most birds, when they're flying, only achieve lift, that is the ability to keep themselves up in the air on the downstroke of their wing. Hummingbirds, by contrast, can achieve lift both on the down and upstroke, which they need to do. If you've watched a hummingbird at a flowering bush moving from blossom to blossom, it needs to not only hit those blossoms, but then come up and move around in a way that sort of a pigeon or a raptor could never do. It turns out that there are features of its anatomy, in particular the structure of its shoulder, which allow it to rotate its wing 140 degrees as the wing is coming back so that it can achieve lift on the upstroke, which is, to me, just mind-blowing. But that's just the start, because the energetic requirements of a hummingbird are unbelievable, the metabolic requirements, just to keep those engines running. So one of the things the film discusses is the structure of the hummingbird tongue. And we feature research done at the University of Connecticut that shows that the tongue is actually much more complicated and interesting than anyone realized. I don't want to give away the story. I want people to watch the movie, but it's cool.
Yeah, I mean, talk about this for just a moment. For someone to get this film, watch it either by themselves or with their family or in their church, this is an astonishing production, isn't it?
I think so. And it features the work of scientists from England and also from Denmark who were eager to cooperate with Illustra Films in featuring their research. The scientist from the UK looks at starling murmurations. These are these huge, enormous flocks of starlings, hundreds of thousands of birds flying as a unit. Somehow they don't crash into each other. You know, we watch the Blue Angels or Thunderbirds, five or six planes flying in formation. That's amazing. With these starling flocks, you're looking at really hundreds of thousands of birds flying as a unit and not crashing into each other. The work of the scientists from Denmark looks at the Arctic tern, which is a bird that, boy, I want their frequent flyer miles. They spend their summers in the Arctic region up north, and then they migrate down to Antarctica. They do this sometimes 25 times. You know, they live a long time. Millions of miles accumulating in these populations, and he was able to track how they did this using, again, some amazing research techniques, and I don't want to give away the story, but it's fascinating.
We're talking to Paul Nelson. Dr. Paul Nelson is a fellow of the Discovery Institute specializing in developmental biology and evolution, and this is a field that you have spent a long time plowing. And it's important because how one views their origins, Dr. Nelson, ultimately determines how they live their life.
That's right. These are really the fundamental questions that any human being has to answer. Where did I come from? Why am I here? What's my purpose? Is my existence a cosmic accident? Or is there a design? Is there a purpose to my life intended by a transcendent mind, a creator who knows my name? You know, how you answer those questions makes all the difference to how you live your life. So evolutionary theory, unlike almost any other theory in science, isn't just a scientific theory, because it's the theory about us. It's what science tells us about where we came from. And if the claim of that theory is that we arrived on this planet by an undirected natural process, that has consequences for how we view ourselves, how we view others. And I think the intelligent design research community not only challenges that view scientifically, but those of us who have some philosophical or theological training, we challenge it at a deeper level and say, no, our existence is not a cosmic accident. There is a purpose. We do have a reason for being here. I would never want to be a teenager, let's say, growing up in a culture where they're told you're just a lucky spin of the cosmic roulette wheel. That would rob, I think, one of the purpose of being. So you're right, Hank. These are fundamental questions, and how you answer them makes a big difference to how you live your life.
The DVD is called Flight, the Genius of Birds, and I would say, Paul, that the genius of this DVD, if you will, is that it communicates without preaching. And what I mean by that is you watch the DVD and it, well, I mean, intuitively demonstrates to you that God is real.
Listen, I agree. And to me, it's Psalm 19 in action. It's Romans 1:20 in action. We have a God who did not hide himself in the sense that he made himself manifest in the world that he made in a way that Romans tells us those who reject it will be without excuse. They will not be able to say when they face him, you didn't put enough there. But I feel very strongly that the signal from nature speaks unequivocally to the existence of a supreme mind who brought this world into existence. And birds are just one glorious example of that. The movie really is a love letter to these creatures that I'm sad to say, again, this happened with butterflies. I took them for granted until I had to be involved in the film. And in the case of birds, again, I took them for granted until, you know, 18 months of a production on the film, and you just fall in love with the creatures all over again.
Yeah, and I'd have to say the same thing for myself. And one of the things I want to touch on just as we close this segment is the notion of families watching the DVD together, because so many families send their kids off to school, and those kids are being bombarded with evolutionary dogma, even propaganda. But when you sit down with your child and watch this DVD, they're going to get the other side of the story and, again, intuitively recognize that what they're being told in school doesn't always correspond to reality.
That's right, and it's very watchable. It's a bowl of popcorn, a couple of Cokes, you put your feet up. It's very entertaining, and you're right, it doesn't preach. The living things are right there for you to enjoy. And the movie, as I said, is a love letter to these creatures that inhabit the air around us.
I would definitely say that Ladd Allen and the folks at Illustra Media, only from the perspective of eternity, Paul, we fully know how God has used their productions for his glory and for the extension of his kingdom.
You know, they're hard workers, and they plow all the money they make on these films right back into the next one. So I'm proud to be associated with them and the things that they've done over the years.
Always great to have you on the broadcast. Looking forward to talking to you in the near future.
Thanks, Hank. Have me back anytime.
God bless you, my friend.
Take care.
And, of course, the DVD, it's called Flight, the Genius of Birds, is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online for your gift, again, at equip.org. When you support the ministry, we'll send this out, and believe me, you will absolutely be blown away. This is not over-promising and underperforming. It's under-promising and overperforming. When you see this, you'll just be blown away. And again, if you have a family, watch it as a family. It'll make a big difference in your life. Watch it with family members, friends, neighbors. Make this an event. This can be life transformational. Again, available for your gift at equip.org. Also, you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, Resource Consults, they're standing by at 888-7000. And the letter CRI, so just pick up the phone and call 888-7000 CRI. Get your copy of Flight, the Genius of Birds. It will be a blessing to you and your loved ones. We're going to be back on the other side of the break with answers to your questions right here on the Bible Instrument broadcast.
When we see a work of art, we know it was created by an intelligent designer. But evolution asks us to believe that our Earth and its inhabitants are the result of a purposeless process. Hank wants to equip you with the truth about creation. That's why he'll send you a powerful DVD called Flight, the Genius of Birds, to thank you for your donation today. Request it when you call 1-888-7000-CRI. 1-888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment to answer more questions. It's one of the most powerful tools I've seen to equip people with the truth of creation. These were Hank Hanegraaff's words after watching the DVD from Illustra Media called Flight, The Genius of Birds, and he wants to send you a copy to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Flight takes a detailed look at birds and addresses head-on the logical impossibility that this complex biological system could be produced by a purposeless process rather than by a personal plan. Equip yourself and your children and grandchildren with the truth about why evolution is false and why the biblical account of creation is true. Call and request your copy of Flight, The Genius of Birds today, 1-888-7000-CRI, 1-888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Have you ever wanted to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your phone or handheld device? Now you can with the Equip iPhone app available for free from the Christian Research Institute. With the Equip iPhone app, you can take the Bible Answer Man with you wherever you go. Listen to the broadcast live, listen to archived programs, 3-minute Ask Hank features, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. All of this available for free from the Christian Research Institute. So go online to equip.org and click on the Equip iPhone app banner and download this free app today. Or go to equip.org/app. That's equip.org/app. The Equip iPhone app is compatible with iPhone 5, iPhone 4, 4S, 3GS, iPad, iPod Touch, and requires iOS 6. It's one of the most powerful tools I've seen to equip people with the truth of creation. These were Hank Hanegraaff's words after watching the DVD from Illustra Media called Flight, The Genius of Birds, and he wants to send you a copy to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Flight takes a detailed look at birds and addresses head-on the logical impossibility that this complex biological system could be produced by a purposeless process rather than by a personal plan. Equip yourself and your children and grandchildren with the truth about why evolution is false and why the biblical account of creation is true. Call and request your copy of Flight, The Genius of Birds today, 1-888-7000-CRI. 1-888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. There's something you see every day that proves creation is true. Birds. Yes, birds show us that they weren't designed to fly by a purposeless process, but by a personal plan. And Hank wants to send you the DVD, Flight, The Genius of Birds, to equip you with this truth. Flight is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please, request your copy today. Just call 888-7000-CRI, 1-888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Justine, listening in Red Deer, Alberta, Canada, CJCA. I was there a number of years ago. Beautiful place. Hi, Justine.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
So I am basically wondering what your take on reproductive technologies are. For instance, a couple who is looking into in vitro therapy with the possibility of using a sperm donor?
Yeah. Well, you know, I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, and basically what I point out there is that the introduction of third parties through sperm or egg donation or through surrogate motherhood is inconsistent with the biblical pattern of continuity between procreation and parenthood. And therefore, if in vitro fertilization is used at all, the sperm and the egg must come from the husband and the wife committed to raising the child. pointed out the potentially disastrous consequences of third-party involvement, which are demonstrated in the lives of Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar. But there are a couple of other things just in terms of basic principle. I think we have to remember that it's an established scientific fact that human life begins at conception. In other words, an embryo has a distinct human genetic code. It exhibits metabolism, development, the ability to react to stimuli, cell reproduction, and therefore discarding embryos or destroying them through experimentation, I think, is the moral equivalent of killing an innocent human being. Likewise, freezing an embryo is morally objectionable. And therefore, if in vitro fertilization is used, no more eggs should be fertilized than the couple is willing to give a reasonable chance at full-term life.
Right. Okay. And so would you support embryo adoption then, I guess, as an alternative?
I would, yes.
Early adoption.
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, I have a little friend named Elise who is adopted in that fashion, and now she's a beautiful little girl, and I have her picture on my desk.
Right. Okay. Yeah, and hopefully that program will open up as well. So, well, thank you for your input, and I value it.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your call. And, of course, there are major moral concerns associated with using biotechnology in place of the natural means of procreation, not the least of which is that the fertilization of an egg in a glass dish can lead to viewing children as products to be made and, of course, disposed of rather than gifts from God. So in vitro fertilization is, unfortunately, already being used in the production and genetic selection of designer babies, and therefore it's imperative that we guard against subtle shifts in thinking that ultimately lead to the erosion of a biblical worldview. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Tom in High Ridge, Missouri, listening on KSIV. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
My question is, it's about Luke. I believe it's Luke 3. And it says, I'm paraphrasing, it says, the word of God came to John in the wilderness. Now, since Jesus and John were on the earth at the same time, is it possible that Jesus actually came to John in the wilderness? Or is that referring to something else?
Oh, no, it's definitely referring to something else. It is true that Jesus called the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, but that's not the context here. In fact, what's going on is quite beautiful. Luke, as a historian, is doing precisely what the Old Testament prophets did. He is giving the information in the exact way that the prophet would give the information, which is to say, in Luke 3, you have the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea. And then the text says, the word came to John. So what's the import of that? Just as in the Old Testament, the word of the Lord came to the prophets in a particular time, and that historical sequence is given. Why? Because through that historical sequence, you can see not only the prophecy, but you can also see the fulfillment which validates the prophet. And so the words here are in keeping with words that you find in the Old Testament. You look at Jeremiah 1, for example, where the words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests of Anath in the territory of Benjamin. And then the word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah. So you have all the historical background in detail and description. You know exactly when the word of the Lord came to the prophet, and therefore that prophetic word can also be tested. And there are many other examples. Hosea 1 is very much the same. This often happens in the first chapters, by the way, of these prophetic books. The word of the Lord came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reign of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So again, you have a historical context.
So John was considered to be the last Old Testament prophet then?
Well, certainly he is the last prophet of the Old Covenant, but there are other prophets that we have delineated in the New Testament. But once the canon of Scripture is complete, we don't have prophecies that go beyond the fulfillment of all the prophetic oracles that come with the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. And therefore, we now have a corpus, a body of work built on the prophets, the apostles, with Jesus Christ the cornerstone, and we can test all things in light of that, hold fast to the good.
Can I ask you another question?
Sure, yeah.
It's in the book of Mark. It's when Jesus is being taken away, and I don't have it right in front of me, but it talks about a boy being there and losing his garments and running away naked.
Mm-hmm.
Is that referring to his righteousness, since you ran away from the Lord? He's running away from his righteousness? Or is it something else?
No, I don't think this has anything to do with him running away from his righteousness, but it is a historical narrative, and within that historical narrative, we see precisely what happened, and that event is therefore chronicled in all of its detail.
I appreciate your time, Hank.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Dustin in Newton, Kansas, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Dustin.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I grew up a Seventh-day Adventist, and I'm not currently with that denomination, but I was wondering how people justify going to church on Sunday.
Well, it's
over Saturday.
Yeah, it's not justification. It is actually a beautiful truth of Scripture, which is that in Christ we have our Sabbath rest, and therefore the most dangerous snare for the early Christian church was a failure to recognize that Jesus was the substance that fulfilled the symbol of the Sabbath. So in Christ we have our Sabbath rest, and it is because he rose from the dead that we know we too will rise, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. So you have the singular doctrine that stands as the pillar on which all of Christianity rises and falls, that is celebrated every single Sunday. So it is not the Sabbath that is gone, it is the emphasis which has found its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And the emphasis for the Sabbath has shifted throughout the Scriptures. For example, if you look in Genesis, it's a celebration of God's work in creation. If you look in Exodus, it is expanded to a celebration of God's deliverance from oppression in Egypt, and then again, as a result of the resurrection, the emphasis shifts again to a celebration of the rest we have through Christ, who delivers us from sin and the grave. And so we still keep the cycle, but that cycle is now given in fruition in resurrection, and therefore we worship on the first day of the week, and we're no longer slavishly bound to Old Testament laws. If we were, well, it would be hazardous to our health, because according to the Mosaic law, anyone who does any work on the Sabbath has to be put to death.
But then can we steal and kill and all that stuff?
No, of course not, because as I pointed out, the law is not abrogated. It's enhanced, it's glorified in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I'm not talking about doing away with the Ten Commandments, but I am talking about doing away with civil and ceremonial laws that find their ultimate completion in Jesus Christ. And that's why I say you don't have to put your fellow SDA people to death because they start their car on the Sabbath. You know, that law,
right.
That
yeah.
Law is abrogated.
That.
Yeah.
And I know also it says in the New Testament that, you know, not to hold it against someone on what day he keeps, you know. But I was just trying to find my way through this, and to me it seems kind of like Cain and Abel. You know, Abel did the sacrifices the way he was supposed to, and Cain kind of seemed to do what he thought was best.
Well, I don't think it's analogous to that at all. I think that if you look at the sacrifice of Cain and Abel, you see a much greater truth. What you see ultimately is that Cain was not accepted. The reason he was not accepted is because of his heart motive. And so the ultimate thing that we see here is a disposition that is evident in his angry and his downcast countenance, because sin reigned in him with such vulgar vengeance that he embodied the character and craftiness of the father of lies, the devil, who was a murderer from the beginning. Cain invited an unsuspecting Abel to the field and then murdered him with malice and forethought. So we must not suppose that Abel's offering was accepted because it was a blood sacrifice and Cain's rejected because it was bloodless. Each gave according to his vocation, but Abel gave the firstborn, the fattest of his flock, while Cain gave fruit that was not the first fruits. And therefore, the issue again was the disposition of his heart.
Okay.
And I think you are wise, however, to point to what Paul says in Colossians, therefore do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things to come. The reality, however, is found in Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm talking about when I talk about the substance that fulfills the shadow. And here in Colossians, you have a descending order from annual to monthly to weekly, demonstrating that a weekly Sabbath is in view. There are those that would argue against that, but this is clearly what's going on in the passage. But again, we don't abrogate. Rather, we see the full fruition of the fourth command in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, in whom we have our Sabbath rest. Going to have to leave it at that. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, we close with our contact information on the web, materials available at equip.org, via the mailbox, 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they are standing by. That number, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Thanks for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the Internet, just log on to equip.org. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. With the vast amount of information flooding the Internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer, or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. It's one of the most powerful tools I've seen to equip people with the truth of creation. These were Hank Hanegraaff's words after watching the DVD from Illustra Media called Flight, The Genius of Birds, and he wants to send you a copy to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Flight takes a detailed look at birds and addresses head-on the logical impossibility that this complex biological system could be produced by a purposeless process rather than by a personal plan. Equip yourself and your children and grandchildren with the truth about why evolution is false and why the biblical account of creation is true. Call and request your copy of Flight, The Genius of Birds today, 1-888-7000-CRI, 1-888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
That's equip.org.